there was a certain edginess to it. Wasn't there kind of a living on the edge aspect to it that sort of makes the memory, you know, more fun?
Oh, sure. To some extent, yeah.
We're in Alaska.
But also we're in Alaska. We are reporting news that some people did not want us to report. That was the on the edge part. I remember, you know, every time we'd interview Don Young or Ted Stevens or Frank Murkowski about the Tongass, we'd call up, you know, the Senator Paul Tsongas from Massachusetts or Congressman Bruce Vento from Minnesota or Congressman Miller or Gary Hart from Colorado. And, you know, the mail would come screaming at us, you're broadcasting these anti-development greenie people. And, you know, I'd say, here's a stopwatch. Time the amount of time we have with Stevens, Young, and Murkowski, and time the amount of time we have with Hart, Vento, and Miller, and tell us that we're not balanced. And actually,
we weren't.
Yeah, no,
the
no,
Alaska
Stevens,
guys had at least doubled the amount of time.
But even the fact that we broadcast some of the opposing point of view really made people hate us. A few people hate us, and that was really the difficult and edgy part. But what are you going to do? Of course, if you've got a controversial bill, you're going to call the people in Congress who are not from Alaska who are arguing against you. And my argument was always, look, you want to know what they're saying so you can counter it, don't you? No. but that was always a hassle. Any time we have Vento or Miller or Tsongas or Hart on, I'd hear about it.
But that's just a function of human nature and not a function of public broadcasting, per se.
Well, it's a function that we did it.
That's a function of any good broadcaster.
KIFW didn't do it.
Right.
I mean, we did it.
Is that sort of an ethos that you brought, or was that just hardwired into community radio from the beginning?
Both.
Yeah.
I mean, we were community radio people. We brought it, but it sure was here. I mean, we got attacked by the pulp mill once. It was very interesting. And the Anchorage Times, as it then was, which was owned by Bill Allen at the time, ran an editorial attacking Raven Radio and an op-ed piece attacking me, and at which point I called Tobin, the editor, and I said, why don't you send some people down here and see what it's like? And so Tobin took me up on it. And Tobin sent down a team of two reporters for a couple of weeks and a photographer for a few days. And they did a series of pieces on Sitka, which basically said, this little radio station is actually doing pretty good news coverage. We find no fault with it. And by the way, these are the issues. Well, of course, I even thought that the Anchorage Times article was too balanced against the mill. I mean, I thought that they had gone too far the other way. But it was great to be able to wave Bill Allen's newspaper and say, look, they think we're balanced. That was a high point, actually, of being at Raven.
I wanted to ask you guys about this idea of maintaining the commitment to community radio. I mean, you've worked in Europe to try and, I think, replicate this model. When you come back to the United States and look around and travel around, and when you network with people, do you still feel the same sort of energy and enthusiasm surrounding community broadcasting as you did 30 years ago?
Each community has changed a lot in 30 years. Some for the better, some not so. The stations that have actually been adopted by their community, they truly do have their roots in the community, are doing programming that I'm not as excited about because it's programs for the 20-year-olds and the 30-year-olds, and I'm not there anymore. So I don't like it, but I really like it because that's where it needs to be. Make sense?
Yes.
I think the media scene is so debased in the United States, really. I mean, you look at the quality of television news. It's terrible. NPR is one shining beacon of news, and some papers like the New York Times. And when you look at community media, I still think that's the future. Maybe I was right 35 years ago. But I look at Raven Radio. I look at K2. I think, you know, these are where things are happening. This is where good news reporting is happening. The Coast Alaska stations are really in touch with their communities. I listen to, you know, the sports show on Raven Radio on Sunday night. I listen to the library show. I listen to the storytelling shows. I think, wow, this station is really still doing what we wanted it to do, and that's exciting. And what makes it more exciting is the fact that now, you know, we were always talking about radio being two-way medium. Volunteers come in, and the community shares with itself. Now, with Facebook and with the web, it opens up a potential that we never had 30 years ago to really open up to the community. I think it's great when I log on and there's Corvid Eye and there are photographs that are taken, or there's the entire news story in text that I can read, or there's people commenting on Raven Radio programs. And for me, that's taking community radio to the next step.
And
that's,
I love it.
That's where we need to be. And the fact that community radio is the best medium, I think, to integrate with new media, with social media, because community radio started as social media. It started as a group of amateurs, amateur from the word of Amoama, you know, I love radio. I love my community. And you take that with community radio and mix it with social media. Holy cow, we can really do something here. So I'm really excited.
Why is Raven Radio's brand so appealing on the web? What are people connecting with out there?
With Sitka. Sitka is a very special community. And I guess probably people who live other places have the same thought about those other places. I don't know. But you want to know what's happening with your friends. You want to know what is going on in the world that you would like to be in, but you can't because you're traveling for work, or you now live in another location because of whatever. It's a little strange listening to Pig Nose Bob for breakfast, but when you started streaming, I was listening when we were still in Belgrade.
Yeah. The problem
was, not to the NPR stuff, because I can get that other places.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't listen at night, because at night it would be the World Cafe, which, you know, I can get anywhere. I wanted to hear Sitka. So in the morning, Pig Nose Bob, yes. In the evening in Belgrade, World Cafe, no. But the news, always. That was the, you know, for me, the reason to log on the website was find out what's going on at home.
It's interesting to think that what makes Raven Radio successful as a community institution also seems to be kind of propelling its success in the new media environment.
It's a perfect fit, Rob. New media is interactive. New media is citizen journalism. Well, volunteers are citizen. We used to have a lot of citizen volunteer journalists, but even citizen music journalists, if you will. That's what they call them in Europe, volunteers on radio stations. And so it's a perfect fit. Raven Radio is much more well-meshed with social media than an NPR repeater would be. I mean, if I want to get that, I'd log on to npr.org or bbc.co.uk if I want to pick up BBC stuff. The reason I log on to Raven Radio is I want to learn about Sitka.
So we going to do this again in 30 years?
Let's see.
Hope not.
Maybe.
Well, let's see. My mom lived to be 97, so I might make it.
All right.
Well, my grandfather, 101, so maybe.
We have a date. Rich McClear, Susie McClear, thanks a lot for coming in and sharing your memories. You coming to the anniversary party this summer?
You bet.
All right. It's going to be great.
Wouldn't miss it.
All right. Thanks so much.